You know, I wanted to say, first of all, tonight, I realize some of our leaders left, but how honored I am to serve with these men and women. How thankful I am for the volunteers, the people who make this church what it is. It's really so many of you in this congregation that make the church what it is. And I am honored to serve alongside of you because we're all the church. It's not just a one-man thing, a two-man thing. It's all of us together. And it's just so encouraging to see everybody up here tonight trying to serve the Lord, trying to help you. You know, there was a word I just thought it'd be good to kind of clarify. You don't hear this very often. Accountable. I must have heard it 12 times. Maybe it was 15 times said tonight. It's kind of one of those scary words. I never liked that word as a young Christian, just so you know. But for sake of a different word, I don't really know what a different word is. But you know what I think of when I think accountable? It's really just helping one another achieve what God wants in our life. And one of the greatest blessings of the church, and I've got so much to share tonight, but I won't be able to share it all, so I'll make sure I end on time. In case you were wondering if Marcia's going to go till 9:30. No, I'll go to 9:15. Don't worry. No, I'll be done before then. You and I live in a very, very, very hostile world. It's a very hostile world. I don't have time to develop this tonight, but you go to the scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, you go to 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 5, and you'll find out something very interesting about our world and Christians. The world we live in is at war with Christ. The world we live in is at war with Christianity. The flesh is at war with you. This devil is at war with you. This is not a nice little journey through life, and then the Lord takes us home. We are in a tremendous spiritual battle, and every single day we deal with the hostilities of the world we live in, and if you haven't noticed, it's getting worse. It's oppressive. The world you and I live in is oppressive. Righteousness is called wicked, and wickedness is called righteous. The church, the body of Christ, the Christians are our family. They're the most significant group of people in the world. And I want to say tonight, my message tonight, I'm probably going to have to do much of it next week because it's just burning on my heart for you to understand this. But my title tonight is Why Church? My life support system. The church is our life support system. For 40 years of my life, the church has kept me on track. That's what we mean by accountability. The church has loved on me, supported me, cared for me, encouraged me, shepherded me, guided me, shaped me, molded me, envisioned me, been on mission with me, and protected my back when others were attacking. The church is a way of life. The church is it. Now, this is, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. You know, if you've been coming here a while, I am a family man. I love my family. 7 of my grandchildren are here in person. 2 are in the tummies right now. And another to be adopted, we hope sometime soon, from Guyana, bringing me to 10. My wife here, I love them. They have my life, my blood. I would do anything for them. You are as important to me as my family. The body of Christ is my family. Jesus said, when he was speaking publicly, and people came to him and they said, Lord, listen, your mom, your brothers, they're out here. They want a word with you. In other words, hey, Jesus, they're really important people in your life. You know, honor your mother. She's out there. She wants to talk to you. Jesus says to the whole crowd, and his mother and brothers heard him say it. Who is my mother, my brothers, my sisters? Those who do the will of God. My family is those who do the will of God. And 40 years of my life has been devoted to that family, and they to me. One of the greatest and most essential blessings in my life has been being involved with the local church, the church. I wanted to read you something I received. I asked this person if they'd mind if I read it. I won't mention their name. It's very encouraging, but I just received this the other day. A friend and his wife sent out a little prayer letter, and I just wrote back, "I'd be praying for you." And she wrote back, "Mark, we were so encouraged by your message last week on the church. We're so thankful for our church family. If it were not for having the Rock to go to every Friday night, I'm afraid I would be in a deep depression. It seems that lately Fridays have been the hardest day of my week. We hope and wait all week, thinking maybe this will be the week that my husband will finally get a job offer. When Friday comes and there's no job news, it's really difficult. Every week for months now, Friday night is a lifeline that I know I need. God uses our amazing church family in so many unspeakable ways. I'm so thankful for our church. I'm thankful for the time to sing to God. I'm thankful for the messages that you men give. I'm thankful for the time spent talking to new people and people we've known for years. It's so good for my heart and perspective. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you, everyone does to love and serve our church family. God is so good to give us the gift of our church." That's a fact. Now, I want to share something. I'm going to try to encapsulate so many things that I wanted to communicate with you tonight. And you'll just have to bear with me as I try my best to explain this. This church and the churches that I have been with, and I'll say this with all humility, for the last 40 years are not your normal church. They're not your normal church. Now, I'll share with you some stories to illustrate that. I grew up going to church. I grew up going to church that talked about God. I grew up going to church, and the pastor opened the Bible, and I'm thankful for that. I grew up in a church where they preached the gospel, and I'm thankful for that. But the honest-to-God truth is that's where church ended. The people in the church were not lovingly, passionately, committedly involved in one another's lives. I was embarrassed to be seen with other people in the youth group in high school. I didn't want anybody to know they were my friends. We were not an example of what Jesus said, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another." We did not practice acts, and the believers gathered together and they devoted themselves to one another, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to their leader's teaching, and to prayer. That wasn't what our church was about. Church, for many, many people, was simply a social activity. You simply clocked in. It was made you feel pious a little bit. Then you got into your nice little car, drove home, ate your pot roast or whatever you have now, and watched football. That is not the kind of people that I have been with for 40 years. That's not the kind. Rather, I have been with people that want to live their Christianity 24/7. They have a passionate desire to do the will of God. They see how precious the body of Christ is. And when I say the body of Christ, I'm again speaking in a local context. You can say all day, we can say all day, "Oh, I love Christ and I love his universal body." But if you aren't engaged, involved, giving your life, your gifts, your resources, your time, and your love and your care to a group of people with your life, then it's a joke. Your Christianity is a joke, and you will never experience the life I'm talking about. The life I'm talking about is so profound and intimate and meaningful. I could tell you story after story. I'll tell you a few stories tonight about the people I've been with, and many of them here, all of them, but many of you, we've been together for 16 years. But this church is planted out of Evergreen, which I've been with now for almost 30. And when Brent and I founded this church, we came out of a church in Ames, Iowa, and we are an extension of their values and their beliefs and the practices that they gave to us as young men as they shepherd us. And I've been involved in small groups for 40 years. 40 years. The joy of meeting with other men and women and just sharing life, bearing each other's burdens, going through pregnancies together, raising kids together, health problems together, financial problems, job issues, marriage issues, and simply being there for each other, sharing them together, learning from each other, relating to each other. I've been in house churches where I was helped to be discipled and I grew and I learned to lead and I learned to care for other people. All the things I learned in the context of the church. I watched and learned how other men preached. I've not been to Bible college. I've not been to seminary. I learned in the church. I learned in my time with God, I learned about having a quiet time in the church. I learned about prayer in the church. I had men shepherd and guide my life, challenge me, exhort me, encourage me, warn me. And at times, gently and sometimes firmly, reprove me and correct me. Many years ago, I'll never forget when I first moved here, I was pastoring about 2 years, and I got it. This is just to illustrate the kind of people that I've been with. I got a very, 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 very heartbreaking letter from my sister. She just moved back to the States from Germany, she and her husband, and they had three children. This was almost 25 years ago, and her letter was just very difficult to read. She was dealing with tremendous emotional and physical abuse from her husband. And I could tell, to be really honest, that the life was out of my sister, that in fact, if something didn't happen really very quickly, she'd take her own life. She's completely emotionally gone. She was razor close to a total nervous breakdown. I'm a young man, I've never dealt with this before, not this particular kind of thing, and this is, they live 16 hours away. The husband's a very scary guy, kept a loaded gun in the house, told her, if you ever leave, I'll kill you. He'd take the telephone, this is the day when you had a corded phone, you know, in the wall, he'd unplug it and take it to work with him every day, so she couldn't have contact with anybody. The first person I called was Josh Patterson's father, Doug. Doug was not married. Josh did not exist. Doug was a young man who moved up here from Kentucky. I'd known him in Ames, Iowa. He moved up, and he was a young man I was working with and discipling. And I called Doug. I said, Doug, I need to drive all those 16 hours away. Would you come with me? Will you take off work? Will you help me drive the van? Will you help me go and confront this situation? He dropped everything. We got a friend's van, loaned us. The guy loaned us his van, and we drove all the way out there, 16 straight hours. I got out to a disaster. I was so grateful to have Doug. To be honest with you, I'm being very honest with you. I did not know if I showed up at my brother-in-law's home if he'd kill me. I did everything I could to kind of prepare the way and help my sister, and we got out there, and it was just horrific. So I shared, he didn't kill me. Obviously, I'm here. He didn't kill Doug. I think I was really glad to have Doug with me. Doug was a wrestler. He's very strong. And that's part of why I invited him if he'd come. And we sat, and I shared with my brother-in-law, I need help. You got to let me help. I'll just tell you right now, if you don't let me take my sister for a couple weeks and give her a breather, she's not going to be alive. He looked at me very somber, said, okay. So it was so bad, and it was night. We'd already driven 16 hours, that I said, we got to turn around and drive right now while they sleep. And I brought them, brought Micah home, so we had four in our little house, new baby. My sister had a little new baby. They're the same age as the youngest. And we brought her, and she lived with us for 2 months. The Christians rallied. They helped. They brought clothes. They helped. I could tell you about the 7 years that my daughter Jessica was sick. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but many of you here personally know it. Ryan Stahl, for 6 years, every month, would buy from 3M all the medical tape we could have possibly needed. I still keep one box at home just to remind me of what we went through and what this brother did every single week. For almost 2 years, Emily Healy back there would come, sometimes 3 or 4 nights a week, and stay all night and work the shift with Kathy, taking care of Jessica. Christians that I know that I've served with all over this country and here and in our Evergreen churches, I didn't even know. I didn't tell them all this. I mean, obviously, this was almost all out of pocket because their illnesses were so bizarre. Almost $100,000 was sent to us, little at a time, in the mail. You have no idea of the reality of what these believers live, what they live. I'll never forget, I did not know this was going to happen. My wife and Jessica had to go to Arizona for an entire summer to a particular clinic out there. So Mike and I were left home. And shortly after they left, the water heater, it was going to be like $40,000. I wasn't sure how I was going to do this. And then shortly after they left, the water heater broke, the furnace quit working, and the AC. Well, the guy came out to test it, and he goes, the heater cores inside, they're split. It's leaking carbon monoxide, so I can't even approve it. And your air conditioner is shot. Well, you need all of them. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing, God? What are you doing? They just left. They got to be there a month. I'm paying. I got to pay for that. And now, what am I going to do? The guy who came, the company I called, happened to go to one of our churches, Lakeville, which I helped start the Evergreen Lakeville. And he rallied a bunch of friends, talked to his company. And the next thing I knew, they showed up with a brand new water heater, a brand new furnace, and a brand new air conditioner. Said, well, Mark, I was able to get all of it donated, except I need $400. I'm like, I'm just sobbing as I'm writing the check. A group of ladies that I don't even know, but some of them here and some of them blooming, decided, you know what, let's put on a benefit. And on August 11th, my 50th birthday, so it was 9 years ago, they threw a benefit and raised $42,000 at that benefit. You, if you decide to be part of this church, you are amongst some of the finest people I have ever known in my life. And they have my undying loyalty and the rest of my life. This is an extraordinary group of people who take the commands of Christ serious. Do you know what 1 John 3:16 says? We know love by this, that he gave his life for us. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you see a brother or sister in need, and you have an ability to help, how can you not help and say the love of God lives in you? That's the kind of church this is. That's the kind of people that we have here. And I have seen this repeated. I have known of individuals. We have kind of our house churches and our small groups. And the small groups are a group, but that they also belong to a house church. And those house church leaders, we have pre-board approval. We have a financial board that oversees all our funds. How serious do we take your gifts? We have an outside auditor that we pay $15,000 approximately every year to audit every one of our books and check out every dime and every penny and every dollar. And whatever we do has to be approved by our board of trustees, and I'm not on that board. I asked them, I said, guys, we'd like to be the church to one another. I presented this to the board, and what we'd like to ask is, with our house church leaders, when they see a need, maybe someone's car breaks down, or they're going through a tough health trial or a tough financial trial, I would like to have permission for those two men who lead to coordinate, not a fundraiser, because we have to be very careful about cash, but that they could rally gift cards, gas cards, grocery cards, Visa gift card for the individual in that house church that has a need. That has happened so many times. You Christians, Yeah, I just love you to pieces. I love you rockers. I love you rockers. I was on the phone the other day with a brother who some of you know, Rick Whitney. Rick's 3 years older than I am. We're kind of starting to look the same age these days. But I'll never forget, when I was a young man, lived in Ames, Iowa, I was engaged to Kathy, and we were struggling. We needed some accountability. I never wanted to wait 2.5 years to get married because I knew it would be a struggle. And I'll never forget a dear pastor friend of mine. We were talking to him. He was going to probably do our wedding. And my wife said, she wasn't my wife, my fiance, bless her heart, she kind of put me in a tough spot. She said, Mark, why don't you share with him what you were sharing with me today that you read in Thessalonians? Yeah, the verse that says, and this is God's will for you that you abstain from sexual immorality. I'm like, thank you very much. Thank you very much, yeah. So he obviously knew what we were struggling with. And he looks at me, and he just began to show the grace of God, forgiveness. And then he said this, these words. He said, Mark, when you go home today, buddy, look, I love you, but you need someone in your life, just a place you know is safe, that you're watched over. I want you to call Rick Whitney on the phone and ask if you can live in his basement. I called Rick Whitney on the phone. He said, hello, this is Rick. I said, Rick, my name's Mark Darling. He said, I know you, Mark, you sing. I said, well, I sing and I'm a sinner. I said, Rick, Pastor so-and-so told me to give you a call. Here's my reality. Can I come and live in your basement? They just had their first child. They were expecting their second. He said, absolutely, Mark, come on over. Come on over now. I went over, lived in his basement. I used to play my guitar, and it would go up through his heater vents. That's my relationship with Rick, and I was in his house church, Kathy and I. And I've been serving Christ with Rick now for 38 and a half years. He and I were on the phone the other day talking about our grandchildren. He's got 17. I'm not going to be able to catch that. They like to make babies in that family. He's got 8 kids or 7, so he's a little ahead of me. But what a joy to plan Faith Walkers. He and I have been planning Faith Walkers together for years. Still are. I just got to end. I want to share this with you. I want you to think about this. Is the church optional? Is the church optional? Is fellowship and involvement with other believers optional? Is food optional? Is your arm optional? Is your leg optional? Is your hand optional? Is your kidneys optional? That's how serious the church is to your life and your success. Listen to this verse in Hebrews 10:24, I'll end. And let us think of one another and how we can encourage each other and love and do good deeds. And let us not hold aloof from our church meetings, as some do. Let us do all we can to help one another's faith and be at those meetings, and this the more earnestly as we see the final day of Christ appear. In response to all he has done, this is the Living Bible, let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind to one another. Let us not neglect our church meetings. Small group, house church, Friday night, prayer. Don't neglect the meetings. They're your life. They're your life. They're essential for your life. Let us not neglect them, but encourage and warn each other, especially now the day of Christ is so near. And this is the New Century Version. Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds. You should not stay away from the church meetings, as some do. But you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming. And let me just end by saying this. You may think to yourself, well, Mark, we live in a modern world and I can just get your messages on Strong Disciple. That don't count for being at the meeting. Great, use them, use them, use them, use them. But we need human contact. Not online contact, we need human contact. Just like a family and a marriage needs human contact, we need to be with each other. And when we live and act like the church, when you live and act like it, it's then that you receive the blessing of it and the nutrients that God designed to come into your life. The church is as much a blessing to me as Jesus himself and the Word of God. Please don't miss that. Realign your life, rearrange your life, do whatever you have to, get involved, serve of your time, of your gifts, and get involved with these people and get involved with the small group. It will be, as you look back, the best thing, one of the best things you've ever done. These are not perfect people. These are people genuinely striving to grow in Christ and love one another. Let's pray. Father, we just bless you tonight, Lord. We bless you tonight for the privilege of being adopted in the family of God. The privilege you have given us, gifts. Each of us have a spiritual gift. Some have two or three that you've given to us to use to build one another up. Every single one of us that know Christ here tonight have the Spirit of God living in our life, and the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our heart, and we are commanded and we are privileged to love each other, to love each other, to accept one another, to be patient with one another, to believe in one another, to work with one another, to be kind to one another, to forgive one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to bear each other's burdens, and to share life. How many times, Lord, I remember during Jessica's illness going to one of my pastor's meetings or meeting with a few men or meeting with Rick, when I'd have to travel and just being able to sit in a room and sob with what was going on and have them pray with me and have them weep with me. I've experienced things, Lord, in my life I wish to God that I could just give to each and every single person here. May they join in this journey and be partners with us in the body of Christ at the Rock. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. They have all your stuff downstairs tonight, okay?